Hi, and welcome back. It's Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. I know it's been a few weeks since I've posted anything, but I'm back in town. I was away at a conference and some other things that I had to attend to. But it's good to be with you today. Today, we're going to be starting a brand new series. I'm calling this Christianity 501. And the focus of this series will be on Jesus and what he has accomplished on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. Now, one of the most important words in the Bible is the word gospel. And the word gospel translated means good news. And certainly Jesus came preaching the good news. And the point I want to make to you today, is that Jesus is the gospel. You see, he is the good news. Now you say, well, why are you saying it that way? Well, sometimes our focus is on what the good news of Jesus brings. And he indeed brings health and healing, wholeness, prosperity, sound relationships. And all of these things are important. However, if we miss the provider of all these things, Jesus, then we're really pursuing what Jesus can provide rather than Jesus himself. You see, if you have Jesus, you have it all. Even the Pharisees and the scribes of Jesus's day missed who Jesus was. They were so focused on the promises of Abraham and Moses, they missed the one who would fulfill all of the scriptures. Jesus said to the Jewish leaders in John chapter 5, beginning in verse 39, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which speak or testify of me." In other words, they were seeking the scriptures, and the scriptures were testifying of the Messiah, and Jesus is the Messiah. And then he goes on to say, "But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." Now, while it's the hand of God that attracts us to him, it's the face of God that produces the eternal relationships and blessings. Jesus makes it clear that we're to pursue him and him alone. In John 14, Philip, one of Jesus' disciples, asked Jesus to show him the way. And listen to how Jesus replied in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Then look at what John says in chapter 6, verse 44. Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." I don't think anything could be more clear. Jesus is the instrument that God has used to bring salvation, healing, and hope to a lost and dying world. The word gospel is used about 124 times in the New Testament. The first time we see the word gospel is in Matthew 4:23. It's also, this verse is repeated in Mark chapter 1:35 and Luke chapter 4, verse 44. But this is basically what it says. "And Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases." Hallelujah! Jesus came to heal among the people. You see, Jesus came preaching the kingdom. Now, the fact that he's preaching the kingdom presupposes that there must be a king. And that king is Jesus. Jesus is described as King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As a matter of fact, this is described in several places in the Bible. And one place is in Revelation chapter 17, beginning in verse 14. It says, "For he is Lord of lords and King of all kings. And those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful." Speaking about us, amen? So here's a dilemma. Do we hunger and thirst for the promises of God, or do we pursue Jesus, the one whom God has sent? He is also God in the flesh, God incarnate. Now, the scripture tells us to have faith in God. Now, but here's a thought. When you believe the truth about God, the windows of heaven will be open to you. I think we could all agree that. agree to that. Now, as we begin this new series, as I said, it's important to understand some of the foundational truths from which I want to be teaching. Number one, the Trinity, one God and three persons. We'll talk about that today. But we're also going to be looking at, in the future, the unchangeable nature of God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are one. Thirdly, I want to really focus on the full impact of the power and the authority that you and I have because of our salvation through Jesus Christ. You see, you're not simply saved for heaven, but you're also saved for God's purpose on earth. And finally, we want to take a look at the difference between sin in the Old Testament or the Old Covenant, the covenant of the law, and sin in the New Testament, the covenant of grace. And then finally, what I want to do is take a look at the character and nature of God by examining the names and the titles of God that are used in the Bible. But as I said, today we're going to take a look at the Trinity. While the word Trinity does not exist in the Bible, theologians developed this word Trinity to explain the fact that our Godhead exists in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. Three persons in one. The Trinity is a difficult concept to comprehend as human beings. Because as human beings, we are limited in our ability to understand the awesome, powerful, magnificent power and nature of our Heavenly Father. Think about it. Can you really understand or even imagine how God created the universe by simply speaking it into existence? And yet that's what He did. When we experience a truth that we cannot fully comprehend, the Bible teaches that we must accept it as true by faith. If the Bible says it, it's true. I'm reminded of the verse in Isaiah chapter 55 that states that God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways and thoughts are often way beyond our ability to understand or comprehend. Therefore, we have to receive them by faith. That means we don't walk by our understanding, but we walk in what God has revealed as true in His Word, the Bible. This is what faith is built upon. Think about it. If you can comprehend it, if you can understand it, then you really don't need faith because it's logical. You're able to grasp it. However, when God makes a promise that is so glorious and magnificent, and yet you don't know how it will be possible, that's when faith has to kick in. Remember 2 Corinthians 5:7, very short phrase, very short verse, but an important one. And it says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." Now, there are three attributes of God that only God can have. They are, number one, God is omnipotent. That word omnipotent simply means that He is all-powerful. Nothing or no one is equal to Him in power or authority. He created the universe, as I said, by simply speaking it into existence. And we see that in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. The second thing about God is that He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. There is nothing that He doesn't know. God does not learn as we have to learn things. He knows. And He's not limited by time and space. He knows everything about the past. He knows everything about the present. And He knows everything about the future. Amen? And then God is omnipresent. This means, the word omnipresent simply means that He is not limited by time and space. Therefore, He can be anywhere at any time, everywhere at the same time. And nothing and no place is hidden from Him. As we study the Bible, we find that these three characteristics, His omnipotent power, His omniscient knowledge, and His omnipresence can be attributed or is characterized to God the Father, or Yahweh, to Jesus, the Christ or Messiah, and the Holy Spirit. Since as Christians we believe in only one God, the one God of the Bible, then the three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, must exist in one person. Because God is infinite and we are finite, this concept of the Trinity is really impossible to understand. And so by faith, we must accept it as being true. Three in one? Yes. God the Father. In the Old Testament, he was called Yahweh or Jehovah. Now, God the Father is spirit. Now, remember that. He's spirit. John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And keep in mind that no one has seen God's face, because God also said in Exodus 33, chapters, verses 19 through 20, that no one can see my face and live. And so no one can see God the Father. And that's why Jesus is so important. Jesus is God the Father with flesh on, if you will. This is just a way of thinking about it. Jesus is not some lesser person in the Godhead. Jesus God is God. He incarnate. That simply means he came into the flesh. He came to the earth with skin on. The term incarnate simply means in the flesh. So Jesus is not simply a good man, as some would say, or a prophet, as others would say. He is both good and a prophet, but more than anything, he is God. Theologians use the term co-equal to describe the relationship between the three parts of the Trinity. Earlier, I used the word incarnate to describe Jesus, God in the flesh. Now listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 2, verses 6 and 8. Speaking about Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You see, Jesus laid aside his deity, if you will, to be an example to us as a human being. Now, that doesn't mean he was not God. What it does mean is that for 33 and a half years, he functioned as a human being, no different from you or me. Jesus experienced hunger, he experienced thirst, pain, and of course the rejection of many. But he never resorted to his divine authority, even while on the cross. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 23, verse 24. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. He fulfilled his mission on earth and now sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. You know, what's interesting is even his disciples didn't realize who he was until after the resurrection. Listen to this exchange between Jesus and Philip in John 14, beginning in verse 7. And Jesus said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him now. That's powerful. What Jesus is saying, if you know me, you know the Father. If you know the Father, you know me. But Philip still didn't get it. Philip says, in beginning in verse 8, he says, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. That's all we need. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. So what is Jesus saying to Philip? His statement should be obvious. If you see me, you see the Father. Jesus and the Father are one. Jesus then says, if you can't believe that we're one, if you can't believe what I'm telling you, then believe that I'm from the Father, because only God can promise salvation, heal the sick, raise the dead, and I have done all of these things. Then there's God, the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit was in the beginning. In Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." The Holy Spirit is found in many places in the Old Testament. And often when it's described in the Old Testament, not always, but most of the time, it's described as the Holy Spirit is on someone or with someone. But it's not until we read the New Testament that we see the fullness of the character and the work of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. Because he's come to live in the believer, in us. Recall from Scripture that Jesus promised to send us a paraclete, or a comforter, a helper, an advocate and teacher. He promised that after he was resurrected, he would send us the Holy Spirit. He would not leave us as orphans. In John 16, verse 7, Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I leave, if I depart, I will send him to you." What a wonderful promise that is. And sadly, so many people miss out on the opportunity to experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Personally, as for me, I'm giving you now my personal testimony, my personal thoughts on this. I like to think of the Trinity in the following way. Number one, I am a son to my parents. As such, my parents see me as a son. I function in that way as parent to me as a son. But I'm also a husband to my wife. And therefore, my wife sees me as a husband. Doesn't see me as a son, sees me as a husband. And so I function and my relationship is as husband and to myself, or I should say my wife and as a husband and wife. And then the third way is that I'm a father to my own children. My children don't see me as a son. They certainly don't see me as a husband, but they see me as a father. In each of these three roles, I function differently and have authority depending upon how each of these three groups see me. Yet I'm still one person. In a similar way, God is one. However, he functioned and is seen in three different ways depending upon the relationship. Now I know that some Christians have a hard time accepting the truth of the Trinity. And if you're one of them, I would urge you to search the Scriptures. Search it for yourself. I don't expect you to accept what I say, but I also don't expect you to rely on simply traditions or the practices of the past. That's not where you find the truth. You find the truth in his word. You find his truth in the Bible. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Remember, it's the truth that will set you free. Hallelujah. Well, that's all we have time for, so until the next time, I look forward to seeing you as we pursue Jesus is the gospel. God bless you. Let me say a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, right now, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, Jesus, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, just bless every listener, bless every viewer, bless every person who reads this material. Lord, just encourage them and strengthen them and allow your truth to blossom in their lives so they might live the fullness of everything that you have for them. God bless you. See you the next time.